Support for this podcast and the following message come from Dignity Memorial. When your celebration of life is prepaid today, your family is protected tomorrow. Planning ahead is truly one of the best gifts you can give your family. For additional information, visit dignitymemorial.com.
A few weeks ago, I was waiting to go on at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose Boulevard. There used to be a mechanics garage around the corner that had been converted into some kind of clothing store. I went in. They'd kept the structural idea of the garage intact, but cleaned it up and filled it with clothing that people who worked in a garage could never afford. It was 10 minutes before I realized it was a double RL store, Rodeo Ralph Lauren. I hate Ralph Lauren. Overpriced ripoffs of aristocratic, classic WASP preppy duds worn by rich Ivy League wannabes. The angle of the double RL store is overpriced work clothes ripoffs worn by rich working folk wannabes, along with some true vintage stuff. A jean jacket caught my eye immediately. It looked like a Levi's jacket with an odd design. A smiling salesman approached. "Isn't that great? That's an original from the 40s. It was worn once." Then he blah, blah, blahed about the stitching, the loom it was made on, how long it took per jacket to create denim that durable. In other words, it was made in America at a time when Levi's outfitted Americans with clothing that lasted. I pictured the guy who had bought it lost his life in an industrial accident days later, and his widow had hung on to it, put it in the attic, and when she died, her kids had a yard sale and some high-end fashion scavenger snagged it, and it ended up in Hollywood. "How much?" I asked. With a straight smiling face, he said, $3,600, to which I said, "Are you out of your mind?" I felt like I'd been punched in the brain. Who buys that coat? Either you have so much money that it just doesn't matter to you, or you really, really love that jacket and succumb to some kind of consumerist-fueled manic episode, which I almost did. I didn't, but if I had, I would have had to tell everyone I knew about it, and I probably would have gotten the same response. "Hey, man, this jacket's from the 40s. It was barely worn. Pretty cool, huh?" "Yeah, really cool. How much you pay for it?" $3,600. "What are you, a moron? That jacket should come with a mandatory patch for the back that says, 'I'm an idiot.'" I continued looking around the store, a little stunned. I came upon a belt. It was beautiful. It looked like it had been worn for a lifetime. All the notches were etched with wear, was beat up. "What's the story on this belt?" I asked Smiley Guy. "Oh, that's new," he said. "Huh?" I thought. "How much?" I asked. "Get this," he said, $350. I couldn't figure out what was more offensive, charging a fortune for an old jacket that a real working person might have worn, or charging $350 for a belt that was probably made by children in a sweatshop somewhere in Central America. Then I thought if that were the case, it was probably given to a 10-year-old Guatemalan boy 20 years ago. I pictured him being forced to wear it night and day, and he only took it off to be beaten with it by thugs wearing polo shirts. He was rolled around in gravel regularly to create the perfect nicks and force-fed like a veal calf until his waistline expanded to wear in all the notches. Then, after all that, only to have the belt taken away from him at age 30, shipped here and put on display in this faux truck stop haberdashery. Appalling. Until I was struck with the idea that could define my future. I would do a documentary of me returning the belt to the person who broke it in. I would travel to Guatemala and track down this poor, beaten man and return his perfectly broken-in belt to him. I pictured him living in a shanty or a hut, married to the woman who broke in the cowboy boots I'd seen in the other room, 3 or 4 kids sewing on the floor, and an old woman making tortillas in the corner. I walk in with my crew and present him with the belt. He is moved to tears, and we all eat rice and beans. The sad reality is he would probably cower from the belt like a tortured prisoner, or more likely, the belt was broken in by machine. I went and did my comedy show, concerned about my impulsive flight of opportunistic fancy, as opposed to being disgusted at the idea of exploitation and the greed it fuels.
Comedian Mark Maron is online at markmaron.com. Mark spelled with a C, by the way. He's got a brand new podcast you can find for free in iTunes. It's called WTF, for what the F.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beats. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.